Hi there, it's Melanie from Do Business Network, and today I have the pleasure of talking to Michelle Spinks, who is the Director and Recruitment Manager at Fleet Recruitment. Hello, Michelle, how are you?
Hello, Melanie, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. The first thing I want to say is welcome to DBN. This is fantastic. We've got a flurry of new members this year, and it's lovely to meet everyone. For those who don't know or haven't met Michelle yet, you have been along
A
to
couple now, yeah.
a couple of hours before you decide to make it official and join up, which is fantastic. Obviously, people don't want to hear me waffling on, so I'll start off by just saying, Michelle, can you officially introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Fleet Recruitment?
I can. So I'm Michelle Spinks. I started with Fleet Recruitment around 9.5 years ago when we first launched. So I was very intricate in the launch of the business. Took a few years out, about 3 years out, and then came back to the same company about a year ago. So it's been a long trip, but I've really enjoyed it. My background is I've got around 15, 16 years in recruitment experience, doing a mix of different things from sales recruitment to engineering recruitment. So a good background across the different recruitment streams.
Fantastic. And so obviously you stood up at our last meet, didn't you? And you
I
introduced
did,
yourself
yeah.
to the people who were there. And you sort of give the impression that a lot of people sort of well, that recruitment agencies have had a bit of a bad name in is that the right way of looking at it?
I think most people would be able to tell you a story about a bad recruitment agency. We hear it all of the time. I mean, the difference, the reason that we kind of started was because Neil, who kind of owns the company outright, he had a really bad experience with recruitment agencies. He was a sales director for a company, and it really annoyed him that they were saying that they were screening all these people. And it just wasn't happening. You could basically tell by the time they're getting to interview that they weren't screening them, they hadn't met them, they hadn't interviewed them properly, they hadn't really asked all the due diligence questions that you should ask if you're interviewing somebody for a sales role. And that's how the company kind of came about originally, because of his frustration at the fact that people weren't doing it right. So he wanted to start a company where they were doing it right, and he made sure they were doing it right. So that's kind of how we came about in the first place. We're kind of different to other agencies in the fact that obviously is the background and the fact that it was frustration that caused us to get here in the first place. And plus, I've worked for a couple of national companies and I've seen the way that things work in the national companies world, and it frustrated the life out of me the way that things worked, the way that it was a very cutthroat industry, the way that things were prioritized depending on how much money you were going to make rather than the company. The way that they really didn't care about repeat business. It was more get the money on the board there and then. And I found that that really frustrated the life out of me, because I think now we're in a position where nearly all of our business is repeat business. So we will get new customers on from referrals and various other places, but I would say at least 90% of our business is return business from previous customers. And I think as a company, that's where you should be. It means you're doing a decent job.
That's right. And it's wonderful to hear that that a lot of your business is repeat business. And it is fair. It was really unfair of me to say that recruitment agencies as a whole get a bit of bad press. But there's a lot of good recruitment agencies out there. There's a lot of positive stories, but it's like anything, you always tend to hear the bad stories, don't you, rather than the
True.
good ones.
True. It's very true. We hear a lot, because obviously I've been in the industry for a lot of years, so I know a lot of people who work for a lot of different companies. You kind of stay in touch with a lot of them and you understand a lot about what they do as a business as well. And I think some of them rightfully get a bad name. I know that's harsh to say, but some of them do rightfully get a bad name. Whereas some of them, someone's had a bad experience, but what people don't understand is sometimes the bad experience can be from something silly. So it may be that the customer hasn't given the person the right information to go out and get the right candidate. Because one of the main struggles that we have is that customers don't always interact with you as much as they probably should. and then frustration between both kind of triggers off. And ultimately, if the agent hasn't got all the right information, they can't go out and get the right candidate. And then obviously it causes frustration with the customer down the line as well. So I think you have to be clear from the start as to what you want from them and what they should expect back from you. We would always say that we never guarantee that we can fill a role because you're looking for a person in a split moment, in a split place. So it may be that they haven't got any of those in that city at that time, but 2 weeks later they have got one of those in that city at that time. So it's very much a case of you're kind of drawn from the same pool as a lot of people, but you're drawn in a different way. So we do a lot of our recruitment through LinkedIn now because there's a lot of people use LinkedIn a lot more effectively now, and we're finding that we do a lot more recruitment through LinkedIn now.
Oh, well, do you know, it is true what you say. You're only as good as the information that you're given. So it's important that your customers give you a really good a brief, so you know exactly what you're looking for, in order for you to deliver quality candidates. So I guess it works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, I usually do a give me a day in the life of, because for me, if I can picture it, so I do a fair bit of engineering recruitment and a fair bit of sales recruitment. If in my mind I can picture what their day-to-day activity is going to be, then it means that I can sell it to the candidate a lot better. And if I'm selling the true picture of what it is, then it means that they're more likely to stay with the company and they're more likely to engage with the company.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic to know. And so can you give us an idea then what makes Fleet Recruitment different to other agencies? What, in your opinion, makes you stand out from the others?
I think the main thing for us is our values. We kind of stick to our values. We always want to be honest and transparent with our customers and our candidates as well. Because, I mean, they're equally important. And a lot of people kind of veer more towards the customer's more important. But ultimately, your candidate's important as well. And you should be paying them both equal attention. You shouldn't be just focusing on exactly what your customer wants. And I think things like feedback, we're not scared to go back to a customer and go, you've got unrealistic expectations. You're not paying enough money for what the market's paying. You're not offering what the market's offering. And same for the candidates as well. So you're overpricing yourself. You're wanting too much for what you've actually done in the industry. And it's a hard conversation to have, but sometimes it's a necessary conversation to have. And I think because we do that, it kind of sets us apart because we're not scared to do that. And we know our industry, we know what we're doing, we know that when we interview candidates, we get the best from them and understand exactly what they're wanting. So therefore, we can pass that information on to the customer. So before they even see them, they know everything about them. And I think that's where I would like to think that we differ from a lot of other agencies, and the fact that we've got a good rapport with our customers and our candidates. And it's nice to get things like recommendations from your candidates and stuff like that. It speaks volumes as to what you do.
And I think sometimes your customers appreciate the hard conversations because it really, I think sometimes those hard conversations actually get to the root of the information that you need. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of times when it's not a nice conversation, I have to say that you're paying 5 grand less than what the national is, and you're not going to attract candidates if you're paying so less, or your benefits are you're not offering a hybrid role, which everybody wants a hybrid role at the minute. So those conversations are things that they can maybe change or they can maybe not change. And if they can't change them, then they just need to look at their expectations and go, well, you're not going to get somebody with 10 years experience if you're offering that salary and that benefits package. Would you look at a more junior person? And that's kind of the conversation that you need to have as to, okay, that's where you're at, that's where the market's at. If the two don't meet, then how can we kind of work around that?
It's quite interesting that you've just, mentioned negotiating what the going rates are and benefits, etc. Is this something that's really important at the moment or really competitive at the moment?
Definitely. I think with regards to looking at we call them candidates and customers or candidates and clients. If you're looking at candidate expectations at the moment, they sometimes differ a lot from your customer expectations. So a lot of candidates are wanting a hybrid role now. I think since COVID, a lot of people are used to kind of working from home, and not everybody wants to be in the office full time anymore. I think especially for roles that you don't need to be in the office, you kind of, yeah, you're there, but you can do exactly the same that you can from home, working from your laptop. And I'm not saying that you need to do that every day, but I think sometimes they need to be a little bit more flexible and go, well, you know what? People do have lives outside of work. And if you're making it more comfortable for them to work at home, i.e., they're not having to pay out more petrol money to get into work every day when they can do exactly the same thing. What you tend to find is people that work from home, you actually get more work from them because they're logging earlier, they're staying later, they're trying to catch up on things, and they just do it rather than, oh, it's 5:30, I need to go home now. So it works both ways. And I appreciate not all roles you can do that, because some roles you do need to be on site and you need to be doing what you need to be doing. But I just think other things are coming in. We're getting a lot of companies offering like gym memberships and things now as well as part of their packages, because they've seen that it's something that customers want, candidates want. People want to see that sort of thing to work for them. And it's not a bad thing, definitely not a bad thing.
Do you know, that's fantastic. I mean, I've been self-employed for coming up 8 years now, and I've never been in a job where they've offered gym membership. Although if I had have been, I would have loved it. It
It's
definitely,
more and more common now, really is. Didn't
it.
used to be, but it is now. It's one of the most common things that we're finding now, that people are offering gym membership. It used to be you get your kind of standard pension. Some would offer a profit share in the company, depending on the type of role. But gym membership is definitely up there, and discounted food is another one that's coming up there for like big call centers and stuff like that. So it's, I think they're looking at people and going, well, how can we help? And I think it's a good thing. I think bonuses are more realistic now as well, and they're realizing that good salespeople are hard to find, and if you've got a good one, you need to keep them.
Exactly. But no, that's really, really interesting, Michelle. And it's really sort of, I could sit here and talk about it all day, actually. Then can I just ask them, what are the main benefits of using Fleet Recruitment rather than maybe going to the local jobs agency?
I'm not, I wouldn't diss any other agencies, but I've worked for a couple over the years. Many people do it themselves, so they'll advertise locally on other job center sites or Indeed sites, etc. The benefit of using an agency is they know the correct word, they know how all the different things, all the algorithms work on the different job sites, so that you can pull down the best candidates for it. Also, what you'll tend to find is agencies have multiple packets. So we can advertise on the likes of Indeed, CV Library. Then we've got other ones where we can actually recruit elsewhere across the country in various different places. And there's all sorts of different packages we can use where we can advertise on LinkedIn if you want to. And I think the thing with an agent is what you've got to remember is if you're doing your own recruitment and you're, for example, in the HR team or an employer engagement team, you've probably got another 20 jobs that you're looking at. So that job isn't necessarily in your forefront. Whereas for us, if we don't fill that job, then we don't get any. To put it plainly, we don't get paid if we don't fill the job. So it's our sole focus. Whereas to you, it's probably not your sole focus because you've got another 20 things that you need to be doing that day. And then there's the other way of looking at it is, especially for sales roles, if you've left that vacancy for 3 or 4 months unfilled, how much revenue have you lost from that? That would more than outweigh what my cost would be. So it's kind of looking at the bigger picture and going, do I bite the bullet and find somebody that knows what they're doing? And bearing in mind, they don't charge anything up front at all. We advertise and everything for free, and it's only if you actually fill the position that we then send you an invoice. But until then, we don't charge anything. It's all at our cost to put everything on the job sites. So it's kind of looking at it in that respect. If you've got an extra pair of eyes looking at it for you, and they might find you an ideal person. It will cost you if you do, but ultimately, you might have that person. And if you haven't had that person for 3 or 4 months, how much money have you lost? It's both ways.
I've been in a previous job role where I was involved in the recruitment of a couple of new members of staff, and it's very time consuming, very, very time consuming. And it wasn't a particular role that I enjoyed doing, because there's a lot of pressure on actually picking somebody who's going to fill that skill gap that, because I know that talking to other customers of mine, it's a really hard job to do. It's really hard to find somebody that actually not only has the qualifications, but perhaps, dare I say, have the common sense or personality is probably not the right word, but you know what I mean? Just someone who's going to fit in with your team and hit the ground running. I mean, sometimes you don't always need somebody to hit the ground running. Somebody you need someone just who is very willing and to learn. But finding the right person and also, you know, traveling as well, transport. You did mention, you know, some companies willing to sort of give discounts off food. They may have a canteen or things like that. But you know, like you say, hybrid roles are really important to a lot of people. Myself included, I'm actually working from home today. So it's nice to have that flexibility. And I'm self-employed and I'm everyone's in the same boat. They like to have some sort of flexibility, but it's really interesting, Michelle. Thank you very much. So we've actually put your details on our website.
Hey.
Woohoo! Which is fantastic. If anyone would like to get in touch with you direct, is the best way to go through your website or
Either or, I mean, we've got an office number which comes out to all the consultants, so anybody can answer that and put you in touch with me, which is 01325 313 184. Well, I've also got a mobile number as well, which again, I work from home a couple of days a week as well. So either or, they both come through to my mobile at any point. So my mobile number is 07896 134 501. If you're stuck, you'll find me on LinkedIn. I'm always on there doing bits and bobs. So check it out or check out our website, which is www.fleetrecruitment.co.uk.
that's perfect. Actually, funny enough, I've just put something out today on our social media, introducing you to all of our members and any followers that we have out on socials as well. So I'm sure you'll have a lot of people connecting with you on LinkedIn today. But thank you very much for your time, Michelle, this morning. It's been lovely to speak
Worries.
to you, and we will see you at the next DBN meeting.
You certainly will. Thank you very much.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye.